Our main feature today, though, is a love story. For 20 years, drag queen Mitzi McIntosh has entertained the Sydney gay scene with her wild shows and outrageous personality. Her alter ego, Graham, is dreaming of a new life, one where he can just be himself. So, after 20 years of performing, he's planning to hang up his heels. Fortunately, his partner Neil's Welsh heritage can make that wish come true. Producer Kevin Clare spent some time with Graham and Neil for Mitzi Gets Married. And just a warning, the program contains material that some listeners might find offensive.
I don't think gay men should have children because I think we do the same to children to what we do to the dogs. We've made the dogs what we want them to be. Lizzie is a full-on lesbian dyke dog. She loves...
How do you gather that?
This might be a little offensive to lesbians, but she loves the mud, she loves the dirt, she likes getting wet, she's just... She gets into everything, whereas Dylan will tiptoe across grass. He will actually go out of his way to walk down a footpath and along another footpath. We will walk straight across the grass. We'll let Dylan come here, and he'll just look at you. He's like, I'm not walking on wet grass. There is no way I will do that.
Do you agree? How do you see the dogs?
Exactly like that. He's neurotic. He's gay. And she will play and he won't play.
She'll do toys. What is this, Liz? She loves a toy. Whereas Dylan... Dylan! Come here! Dylan! He won't come. He's in his bed.
Okay, let's start when you first met.
Okay, so I was a traveller. I came from Wales on a 12-month working holiday visa with no intention of staying for longer than 12 months. And we met in 1998 at the Imperial Hotel. I'd seen his shows and I knew who he was. I got my sister to come around and introduce herself and tell him that she loved him and my brother thought he was fabulous.
And so I sort of got the shits that this girl had come up and I said, who told you who I was? And she said, oh, my brother did. And so I walked up to Neil and I said, don't tell anybody who I am. Just don't tell anyone. I don't want anyone to know that I'm a drag queen, you know, because I have the opinion that most gay men don't want to sleep with a drag queen. And so then he sidled up to me 10 minutes later and ordered a drink with a full one in his hand. We started chatting and continued sort of chatting all night, and I realised that he was interested. So I told him to give me a call. So he left and me expecting that he would give me a ring the next day, and he didn't. I only found out later that his flatmate said, don't go near a drag queen, they're danger.
It wasn't to stay away from a drag queen, it was to play hard to get more than anything else.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it wasn't,
okay.
It wasn't drag queens are filthy.
Right.
Or anything. It was, you don't want to look too keen, so...
You didn't play very hard to get, did you? Obviously not one of your fortes.
It sounds a bit stalkerish, doesn't it?
It does actually sound... Well, I guess you could say it's stalkerish or you could say it was destiny.
When did you both realise that you were falling in love?
I didn't fall in love with Neil until probably 6 months after we met.
Oh, it was longer than that.
Okay. I was still...
He was on the rebound when we met. He's gone out with somebody for 2 years.
Shane, 2.5 years.
Who dumped his sorry ass, and he was on the rebound.
Sorry ass.
And he was on the rebound.
Sorry about my ass.
Yeah.
And I guess that was the problem we had in the early part of our relationship, was that I was falling out of love with Shane and falling into love with Neil when we had to look at what we were going to do about our physical arrangements of him, you know, going back to the UK or staying in Australia. We did all the research and went to the Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force and all these different sorts of people to find out how to do this properly. And it was probably the most commitment I've ever made.
It was a different relationship. He was my first boyfriend. I'd never had a boyfriend before, and I was 24. Mm. That's right, because you stole my youth, didn't you?
Yeah, apparently so.
It was quite advantageous being who he is because then I got to experience more of the gay scene than I probably would have. In a different way than I probably would have.
Neil tends to be a little more background than he is foreground. And so, therefore, our relationship has been very much a private relationship. I mean, it's been 10 years, and often I'll mention in a column or I'll talk to somebody about my boyfriend and people will have no idea that I had one or that a drag queen has a boyfriend or a relationship or anything like that.
That used to piss me off.
Yeah.
In the early days, a lot.
Yeah.
That people wouldn't really want to talk to me. They were just talking to Mitzi all the time.
Mitzi.
I know. That's it. And so I used to get angry with that.
Describe Mitzi to me.
I think when I'm out and I'm aware that I'm being observed, I tone down my movements and I tone down who I am as Graham. And when I'm on stage, I tend to camp up who I am.
Other than the look, you're no different.
Right.
And you'll probably find that all our friends say that too.
Yeah, but I tend to flail more as Mitzi. Like, I tend to throw my hands around a lot more and I'm...
Have you seen yourself move as a boy?
Well, her hair's always a really interesting colour. It's always vibrant and wonderful. And she often wears frocks that are like Ostie. And I'm 57, so I wore an Ostie frock for my 21st, and I just wish I still have it. And I wish that it still would fit.
What do you think of her outfit tonight?
I think her outfit tonight is beautiful. It's really vibrant, and I like the way it's cinched in at the waist. I think she's just got a beautiful body for wearing a frock like that.
We're here for Bingay, which is drag bingo, bingo with a twist.
And it's a fundraiser as well, isn't it?
Yeah, to give it a bit of a legitimacy, I said to the venue, look, the money that we charge for the books, why don't we give that to a charity? And we ended up deciding on the AIDS Council of New South Wales. And to date, over the 9 years, they reckon it's raised about $780,000. So it's an amazing little night in the pub that happens to raise a lot of money.
In front of a small stage, the players' tables are packed in tight. Mitzi is busy displaying the prizes, which range from tickets for stage shows to garden gnomes. How did you know about tonight?
I knew because about 4 years ago I was travelling and I came to Sydney. We stumbled randomly upon this at the Imperial Hotel. So I'm back here on holiday, and so I thought I'd look it up again, see if it's still going.
And what were you told a moment ago?
I'm told that it's so popular that you have to book now to get a chance of playing. Although, if we're lucky, there may be a spot in the corner.
I stand quiet, please. 62, that's a 6 then a 2. 62. La page number 9. That's number 9. 40, 40. 14, that's 1 then a 4. 14.
So you've known Graham stroke Mitzi for about 20 years.
Oh, no, 15 years probably. She really came of age at Pleasure Pack. Pleasure Pack was a great drag act at the Newtown Hotel. The Pleasure Pack show, there was the cow thing. Remember the cow thing with the big
Christmas
cow
trees.
The Christmas ones? The Christmas
the five moves of Christmas or something. Mitzi's song was... Here comes Susie Snowflake dressed in a gown. Tap, tap, tap on the window, playing to tell you she's in town. That was fabulous. It wasn't just a man in a dress singing a song. It was costumes and drama and comedy, and it was fabulous.
Every time this number comes up, I drink, she sings, you clap along. Studio 54!
You could read my love, what a tale my thoughts would tell. Just like a no-time movie, but a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark, or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet.
Tell us about the relationship with your family.
My family. These days, I steer clear of my family. My family is very religious. They ran a Christian conference centre in the Blue Mountains. My mother was a scripture teacher. I was a Sunday school teacher. My father used to run these conferences and I used to organise the Sunday school classes for it. And very early on, at the age of 13, there was a youth retreat called Youth with a Mission, which was down in Goulburn. And at this youth retreat, they have a section called Openness and Brokenness, where you sit in a circle and one person sits in the middle and they confess their sins. And then everybody, you know, gets up in arms and they have a laying on of hands and speaking of tongues and all this sort of thing. And I sat there and I said, I've masturbated. I think I'm gay. I've had sex with men. And so they did a laying on of hands and all this and that. Now you have to go home and tell your family. So at the age of 13, I sat my family down and I said, I think I'm gay. I've had sex with men. And my father said, yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, I wanted much more of a reaction than that. And so then from the age of 13 to 18, it became this seesaw between being evil and being good and being wicked and touching my penis and not touching my penis and just this whole yin-yang of my personality where I was doing what I thought I should be doing and what I knew my parents wanted me to do. And then, you know, I was sort of thinking with the top half of my body for 6 months and then the bottom half of my body for the other 6 months. I left school. I started working as a spare parts salesman, and then a position became available at the O'Connor Uniting Church as an outreach minister. I'll get that out.
Tell me about your family, not tell me your life story.
Did you want my life story? He can cut this as much as he likes.
Neil, tell me about his family. Have you met them?
Yeah, I met them all. His family aren't as bad as he says they are. Graham has this something stuck in his head about when he was growing up that affects how he sees his family now, because they are religious and they are a bit standoffish, but his nieces and nephews are lovely. They're all really, really nice, even though they're religious. Like, even contacting him on Facebook was a big deal for him, being friends on Facebook with them, because he didn't want them to see and didn't want them to know about Mitzi. And they're all quite proud of him and not at all affected by it and not at all thinking of him in any other way, but he still thinks they are.
No. I don't want them to be offended.
Well, they're not offended.
Yeah, that's generally my reason for.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But
that's the whole. It's the whole way I act around my family, and it's everything is because, and the reason I don't spend time with my family is because I try to be a different person around my family so as not to upset them, and therefore I'm not comfortable being myself.
Perfect example is we went to a wedding in Adelaide a couple of months ago. It was his nephew's wedding, and It was an all right wedding, but in between the wedding and the reception that was in the evening, we went back to his brother's house where all the family were. There was no alcohol, so I wasn't very happy about that. But I wasn't introduced as his partner. I wasn't introduced as anybody. I was just Neil. And why I was there wouldn't have been clear to anybody apart from his brother, his sister, and his niece and nephews, because the extended family were also there, but I was just Neil, and
oh, I think everyone knew who you were.
Well, yes, but it was
as just doesn't get talked about.
As we discussed the next day, I felt he should have consciously gone, right or wrong, whether it offends anybody or not, this is my partner, Neil. We're going to get married in a couple of months. But he didn't, and he wouldn't.
Tell me about your family.
Oh, my family's great. They're much nicer than his. I've got parents who are both still together. They've been married for 40 something odd years. You know, they send us cards and now they say Happy Christmas, sons, and
they bought us a lovely pewter statue for our
my sister did, yes.
Yes, lovely pewter statue of two men holding hands, and she bought some his and his sweets, some lollies for us to use for the reception.
As long as he steadfastly, as long as he needs me, as
long as I am. On hearing about civil partnership, a friend sent a message that said when you find the one you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And my life with Neil started 10 years ago. He's my friend and my lover. We spend a lot of time together, and I always look forward to being next to him, whether it's on the lounge, in bed, or walking our dogs. I know I'm the person he wants to grow old with, and nothing else compares to that. I love you. I love you.
There is something amazing about standing up in front of your friends and family and saying, I love this man. and him saying that to you. It's an incredible emotional declaration in front of friends and family. And that's what we wanted it to be. It was an amazing day. We had such a wonderful time.
We did.
When someone needs you, you love them so.
So what does this civil partnership actually mean legally?
Legally here, it means nothing. In the UK, it means we have the same rights as any married couple. Pension-wise, law-wise, we have the same rights as a married couple in the UK and in other countries that recognise it.
I mean, we talked about getting married, you know, we joked about it now and then, and obviously a moment that we had spoken about was maybe 10 years would be when we'd think about it. We've been together for 10 years, will we get married, will we have a wedding or whatever the case may be.
It turned into a wedding because of my family, who all got really excited and said, OK, we're going to come over for it then. And I'm like, it's not a wedding. All right, we'll have a party. So we ended up having a party, but that's the only reason it turned into anything that resembles a wedding.
Even the signing the papers at the British Consulate was a lovely occasion. We just decided that we'd have his family come along on the day, and his sister and mother ended up being our witnesses because your father didn't bring any ID with him.
Yes.
And we signed a bit of paper and then we went out to lunch afterwards.
Yeah. It's all pretty sterile. This is a 16th floor, an office block in the middle of the city, and the place where they do it is a glass room that has to be glass so people can see in and nothing untowards going on. So, yeah, it was very sterile and very unlike you'd imagine if somebody was actually getting married.
What's the thing about nothing untowards going on?
I don't know.
Two men and rings. Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Legally, it has to be able to be viewed by the public. There's a legality there where it's a glass room so that it's not closed off. It has to actually be viewed by the public or something or other.
Tell us about the actual, on the harbour, the actual day.
We organised to have 44 people on the cruise. And every extra person we added was like $170. And we went through everybody and decided that they had a relevance to our relationship, the 10 years we'd been together, and they had a relationship to us in some way that had been influenced over those 10 years.
We sent out cards with an RSVP. So if you're RSVP, you're coming. So then we knew how many were coming, and that's how many were going to come.
Some of my friends actually said, yes, we're coming, but they didn't send back the RSVP. And Neil was like, if they don't send the RSVP, they're not coming. They're not stepping foot on the boat if we don't get an RSVP.
We enveloped them with a stamp, gave them a stamp. All they had to do was put it in the envelope and post it. And they couldn't even do that.
It's been 10 years of my life that changed my life. I came from the UK as a traveller, I met this man and everything else changed. You meet somebody every now and again in your life that really changes your life, really makes an impression on you and makes you laugh constantly and makes you happy that you are a gay man living in a gay world with gay people.
It's 9 o'clock on Sunday night. In 2 hours, Mitzi and her cohorts will take the stage at Ark Nightclub. But before they do, Graham heads to a famous drag bar, which is currently closed for a makeover, to begin his transformation. So why do you choose to come to the abandoned Imperial for this?
It's my spiritual home. it's just easier. I've always tried to keep drag away from the house, and it's actually easier to just leave all my makeup here and all my costumes and everything and not have to worry about having it at home. So,
how long ago was Mitzi born?
I'm 20 years old. I love being 20 years old. I mean, I started doing a little bit of drag before I came to Sydney, but primarily it was when I actually came here that I had to have a name and had to have a start a drag career as such. I've got to find you somewhere to sit, hey?
Oh, look, describe this room for me. Okay. It's just full of outfits.
So I've got my Tuesday bingo outfits. And then once every few weeks I get in here and actually tidy it up. And it's a schmozzle, folks.
There's wigs everywhere. There's mad wigs made out of styrofoam as well.
Well, there's a queen called LSD that does those, and she's amazing. Does incredible stuff.
Are they better because they don't move around as much?
They're more theatrical. They're more cartoon-like. They're more larger than life. So they fit with drag when you've got a full face of makeup on. And also with real wigs, you have to continually style them and restyle them. And if you've got somebody else who's styling your wigs, it can cost $50 a time to have them styled.
How much of a girl is Mitzi, or is she purely an extension of Graham?
I think Mitzi's more boy than she is girl. I don't think there's a delicacy or a femininity or a sexuality to Mitzi at all. I was doing photos for Sydney Morning Herald when I did Top 100, and this guy comes in and he sets up this whole photo booth here, and I'm sitting there in a full face, and he said, all right, well, you know, give me a few looks. So, of course, I pull the faces, and he said, can you do sexy? I said, I can't do sexy. I said, no, I don't do, you know. And often there have been moments where I've done a number where I've thought to myself, do you know, that was okay. I felt like I was a little bit sultry. And then I watch it back on a video or something, I think, oh, my God, I look like I'm about to have a fart or something. You know, I try and pull this sexy pout and I just look like I'm a guppy trying to find air or something. So I've never really felt that there was a sexuality to Mitzi at all. You know, there's so many shades to drag, to transgender, to all this sort of thing. You know, there's so many shades of gay. You get people from straight men who like to dress up in women's clothing because they feel more sexual, because they feel prettier wearing women's clothing. And so you get that aspect of it, which is totally sexual. And I think drag's a strange thing because it is connected to a sexuality. And, you know, you get people that do drag just because it's a fun thing to do and a social thing to do, but it's not a sexuality to them at all. And then you get the people who dress up in drag because it's a performance. And for me, that's who I am. It's an actor. It's a person playing a part.
So it's almost like while Graham plays Mitzi, Mitzi's on stage playing other characters that she's miming to.
Absolutely, yes. I can't get away from there being a baseline of Mitzi through everything. And that's great for a drag queen on stage. You'll find that the idols of drags, people like Barbra Streisand and Shirley Bassey and all these sorts of things, their songs are full theatrical performances. They're an over-the-top sound. They're a voice you can mime to that is outrageous, that has a lot of character to it, and they also tell a story. There's a lot of emotion in their voices. So for drag queen, that's a great thing because it's all about acting out the words.
How did you approach the character of Mitzi 20 years ago?
I think for me, there was an attraction to the over-the-top 60s beehives, the, you know, the little short sundresses and all that sort of thing. And so I thought, all right, what am I going to be? You know, it was Gidget Fidget or it was Mitzi Mayhem or something like that. And so eventually I settled on Mitzi because that reflected the style of performances that I was doing.
One more question, because you just took your shirt off.
Yes.
You've shaved your chest but not your stomach. How come?
I try to retain some semblance of masculinity. Neil would actually love it if I could have a hairy chest, but from under the nipples down, I'm a hairy monster, and then from there up, it's all shaved.
You've got your cleavage.
I've got cleavage.
How long does it take you generally to get made up as Mitzi?
Normally I allow half an hour for shaving and an hour for my face, but I always leave only in a face and boys' clothing. I never get into drag here.
And what will Mitzi be wearing for this show tonight?
For the show tonight, there's a variety of costumes. The opening pink and white sort of lollipop outfits. And in the middle production, it's all fluoro rave outfits. And then in the finale, it's multicoloured sequin tops and vinyl trousers with big red wigs.
Graham stays at the Imperial Hotel to finish applying his makeup, while across town, Hank checks the costumes for the show.
I'm a stage manager for Arc Nightclub, and I've been working here for about 9 years now. And I work with Mitzi McIntosh for about 12 years now. The way I work with Mitzi is sort of like Mitzi didn't treat me like a work colleague. Mitzi treated me like a part of her family. So there's a difference there. because if I see Mitzi as my boss or my work colleague, I can do it.
Is it hard getting them in and out of their costumes?
If they put on too much weight, yes. But because I'm a dresser, so if some people, like some drag queens, put on weight in about a week, I can tell because the zipper don't go all the way up. So, yeah.
Okay, so you've obviously seen Mitzi tonight. Why have you brought a friend to see her?
It's the best value comedy I've seen in Sydney. I've seen quite a few stand-up shows. Paid a hell of a lot more than $5 to see much less quality. I think she's a true professional. Fantastic at what she does. Been an admirer of her performances for 10 years now.
And how many times do you think you've seen Mitzi over the past 10 years?
I'd say on average, over the past 10 years, at least once a month, so 12 times a year, so quite a few times, I guess, yeah.
At around 11, the show kicks off. Drag queens Mitzi McIntosh and Kitty Glitter and male dancers Ashley and Anthony dance and mime in a routine that's been painstakingly choreographed. Every step is perfect, arm gestures synchronised to leg moves. The costumes are tight-fitting, comical and colourful, and in a couple of numbers, they're even glamorous. The crowd, who are mostly in their 20s, lap it up.
She's the legend, the one, the only, Mitzi McIntosh! And of course, she's a slut about town, everybody knows her. Possibly from behind, better than the front. Please put your hands together for the fabulous Kitty Glitterline! We'll see you soon with our next show at 12:30. Thank you, bye-bye!
What did you think?
That was quite amazing. I really enjoyed it.
What was amazing about it?
They're just phenomenal dancers and they put on a great show. You know what? There's really not much of a drag show back in Sacramento that I've seen, so this is quite unique and I really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So, in the next year, what are your plans?
2 years ago, we talked about the possibility of moving back to the UK. Neil wants to spend more time with his family, and I've lost my father and mother. They've both died. My grandmother was the last to die out of the generations above me, and I think you need to spend as much time with your family as you can when you can. And he wants to be in the UK for his niece's 18th birthday.
It's not forever. It's only for 5 years.
Maybe 10.
No. I'm not living in London for 10 years. It's going to be 5 years.
All right. But it's a great opportunity for me, you know, as a 45-year-old man, to actually be able to move to Europe and spend some time over there. And, you know, I think we all thought about it when we were 20 and, you know, we could move over there and we could do things there. And we never got around to doing it. And I see it as an opportunity for me to change who I am and start a new career in the second half of my life. Something simple is the key. What do you think Mitzi would think of Graham? Oh, I think Mitzi would think he was quite drab. Look, it's always worried me that Graham never lives up to the exuberance of Mitzi. And I've always been aware of the fact that I didn't want to disappoint people as Graham. I wanted Graham to have as much impact and as much personality as Mitzi, but in a different direction.
It sounds like you're almost giving away Mitzi to discover more about Graham.
Yeah, I think I regret hiding behind Mitzi. I wonder what I could have done with my life in different ways if I hadn't had Mitzi as the comfort zone, because it's always been the place where I felt safe.
So saying that, imagine you and Neil are at the airport. You're about to leave for London, yes, and Mitzi's also at the airport waving goodbye to Graham. How will you feel?
Very sad. You know, there's such an incredible history of the last 20 years and my involvement with the gay scene and being involved in shows and charities and all that sort of thing. And I didn't think that could happen. And I don't know how I would have achieved that without Mitzi.
Mitzi Gets Married was produced by Kevin Clare, with technical production by Phil McKellar. And if you'd like to see a short video of Graham transforming into a blushing beauty and then performing as Mitzi, head over to the 360 website. Here's the address, abc.net.au/rn/360.